Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hi, villains, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast. And look, I'm just going to come out and say it. This one has to be a 10-minute tirade. I know the masses out there don't like it, but we're just very short. It is an early morning kickoff tomorrow against Arsenal, 12 o'clock kickoff. I'm actually really looking forward to a 12 o'clock kickoff. 12 o'clock kickoff. I'll be looking forward to it even more. If you could guarantee me that we're going to win. And I'm joined here by Paddy, and Paddy's going to guarantee me that we are going to beat Arsenal. Isn't that right, Paddy?
No. Paddy's going to guarantee you that we have a good chance. And Paddy's not happy that the match is at 12:30 tomorrow. But anyway, that's just by the way. I prefer the evening matches now that you can get your business done during the day and go and relax still and have a beer and watch the game and whatever you choose to do watching the game, get a takeaway or whatever, but that won't be happening at 12:30 tomorrow. So I've got to tailor my day around it. I'm looking forward to it. As you said, they have more problems than us. They obviously have their first choice goalkeepers suspended. And also Matt Ryan that they signed from Brighton is struggling with a hip injury. Mm. David Luiz, who I don't really rate, is suspended, so I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And Kieran Tierney, who would be a definite starter and would be a starter in any team in the Premier League, is also doubtful. So, for once, fingers crossed, that a guy who I've admired from his time at Celtic, I hope he's not playing tomorrow.
For me, that's a huge one, because I think the tactical flexibility that Kieran Tierney gives them, and to be honest with you, David Luiz would have given them as well, is huge, because they're down to their bare bones at centre-half. They've got Holding and Gabriel are probably going to be in there, you know, which is grand. When I say grand, they're two decent, very, very decent defenders. And I think they're going to give Ollie Watkins problems, but he's going to give them as much as he gets, should I say, as well. Goalkeeper being out is huge. And this young Icelandic guy being in there, the young Icelandic guy that had a crack off Arsene Wenger back in 2014, I think it was. It had to delete a couple of tweets after he signed for Arsenal. This guy, he was apparently an Arsenal fan, and he tweeted a few things about Arsene Wenger not being not being very good anymore, I think it was. But it was, it wasn't too bad. It was just one of these things that the tabloids picked up on and said, oh, this is embarrassing. You know, maybe he might want to go back and delete a couple of his tweets. Well, maybe why didn't you just DM him, tell him delete him instead of printing it in a newspaper, for fuck's sake. But anyway, yeah, he looks like he's going to be in goals. Matt Ryan still didn't train yesterday. I went looking to see that he trained today and there doesn't seem to be anything on it. And I would imagine that, you know, like if he didn't train yesterday, it would be, you know, it would be tempting fate, I think, to put him in goals.
Yeah, he's
unlikely to start as well. But I think Kieran Tierney is the big one. Kieran Tierney gives them the tactical flexibility. He allows them to play a three at the back, or at least to convert a three at the back when they're going forward, if needs be. Cedric is going to probably go in there instead of him at left back. Obviously, more predominantly will be a right back, Cedric. But, you know, things like this way up well for Aston Villa, because you know, we do need to kind of shift the pace and shift the point of attack over from the right to the left, and from the left to the right, I suppose, an awful lot more. We've been very much attacking down the left hand side, and I think teams are just going to like when you've got Sacco over there on the right hand side, like he's played right back, he's played right midfield, he's played played striker, he's played everywhere. He's going to be a difficult prospect out there with Bellerin, and we don't want
player.
Yeah, and we don't want the Jack to be marked out of it. Also, look, do you honestly think like they can set up very much similar to the way West Ham did, and you just gotta hope that West Ham didn't give a blueprint for a team like this, because you're gonna have Partey and Xhaka in there, two no nonsense big strong boys inside there again, just like we had at the weekend, or like we had on Wednesday night against West Ham, and then they're gonna have Lacazette, Aubameyang, Saka, probably Emile Smith-Rowe up there as well. So they're going to have a lot of movement and flexibility up there too. So we're really going to have to come with our heads screwed on Saturday for the game against Arsenal, I think.
Yeah, Aubameyang has been out for a while as well. He only came on for the last half hour against Wolves in midweek. Sorry, lost my train of thought there. So we don't know how fit he is, or if he's been training when he was out. I believe his mother wasn't well. So you know he blows hot and cold. You don't know what you're going to get. Lacazette is very, very similar. I don't want to say anything negative about him before the match, but I think they could do better in the striking department. But he's likely to hurt you on the days that you think he's not going to. So you never know. And that Emile Smith-Rowe has the makings of a good player as well. So, you know, they can hurt you. It's obviously not the best Arsenal team we've ever played, so I would be hoping that we get something out of it. A little bit deflated after the other night, I have to admit. But, you know, we'll I'm sure we'll regroup and will there be a different game plan going into tomorrow.
Does Dean Smith tear up the game plan, or not tear up the game plan, but does he tear up the blueprint? Can we see more than one change to this team? I don't think El Ghazi is going to start. I think he's going to go back to Troy, but do you think there'll be any more than that one change?
I don't see it. The only other obvious one would be that Sansun starts, probably hasn't got enough game time to do it, but he could possibly start. I think we've got to be wary now of teams stacking that right hand side to hurt Jack and hold him back. I think it'll be a case of that we'll have to switch it. You know, I think in the odd game maybe start Jack on the right and see how it goes, and you know, mix him over to the left and just give them something to think about. Otherwise, you're just going to look at the fact that they're going to hurt you down that side all the time, and they're going to try and pin him back. But look, there's better men than me and you in there making those decisions. So yeah, I'm sure they will have, like you saw what happened the other night. The minute Jack moved over onto the right, we scored because they didn't have the same
same game plan. They didn't have the same kind of
They couldn't adjust to the same. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's I think we might see another change in midfield. I think potentially we could see Marvelous Nakamba come into midfield for this game for John McGinn.
Really?
I wouldn't be. It's a long shot, but I wouldn't be blown away by it. Mm. I wouldn't be blown away by it whatsoever. although I, you know, you have to, I suppose, you know, you have to wonder as well, after every game, they seem to push McGinn out in front of the camera, which I love because he talks so well. You know, he's a good orator. He's a good mouthpiece for the club. And he's just a relatable guy. And I think that's one of the reasons why. And he probably puts his hands up to go out and speak to the cameras as well. But maybe I'm not advocating that we drop McGinn. It's just, listen, I'm giving a devil's advocate here for, there's a lot of fans who want changes. There's a lot of fans who want subs, you know? Well, I'm thinking there's something we could do. Marvelous Nakamba came in and did absolutely fantastically in the game that he played. You know, when McGinn was out. So, you know.
He did, yeah.
Why wouldn't
we give him man of the match that day? Yeah.
We did. Like why would it be a surprise if he was to start him? You know, maybe he'd start him and maybe he plays Ross Barkley up top, or maybe he plays Santam. Maybe he makes three changes. I don't know. I don't expect it. But I'm saying that, like, as a devil's advocate statement, it could possibly happen. And I wouldn't be absolutely, my jaw wouldn't hit the floor if it happened. Because look, we can't all talk about wanting to have squad rotation and making substitutes, and then if he starts players, you know, give out about the lineup either. You know, I suppose you can't have to trust what's in store. Once again, I am shouting this down. I want to get really close to the microphone. I am not arguing that McGinn should be dropped. Okay, I am not doing it. I'm just saying that if he did it, it wouldn't surprise me due to the fact that people are looking for rotation. And once again, he's going to trust his stats. He said it before. We've spoken, and Greg Evans, everybody should go back to it. The article on sprinting distances, yards carried, all that. Villa, look into all that stuff. So we'll see.
Yeah. I don't think, personally, given the fact that we've got a week's rest after this one, I can't see any wholesale changes. I can't see a change in midfield. I think Sanson will get another week's training before he throw him in there, if they're going to throw him in there from the start at any stage. And I really only think that the only change will be El Ghazi to come out, because he was absolutely toothless in that first half. Don't get me wrong, he was brilliant in December. It's just, it was a different type of game, and the game just passed him by, I felt. And I don't think I was the only one that felt that. But I can't see any other changes. I think we'll line up. I don't think we'll go 4-3-3 kind of the way we were the other night.
No.
I think we'll sit back into our usual 4-2-3-1, and they'll be a bit more cautious.
Yep, and I can certainly agree with that. Do we see Martin Odegaard for Arsenal, the much heralded wonder kid, I'm going to call him, as he was 16 years of age, signed for Real Madrid. Played some really, really good games for, I think it was Sociedad and some other teams like that, but never really hit the mark for Real Madrid. Do we see him? Is he going to start? Will he start instead of Emile Smith-Rowe?
Hard to say. Probably shorter match time. Might need to put him in there for maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, and see how he is first. So you may see him coming off the bench. You know, I think he likes Smith Rowe, and I think there's great potential there. He looks like he's the makings of a decent player.
Oh,
so
yeah.
he might persevere with him for a while and see how he goes. You know, Odegaard hasn't played an awful lot of football, so it might be a strange one to throw him in like that. But then again, you never know.
Yeah, you just never know. They've got a good squad, lads. You know, the more I look at their squad and I see the players that they have, like Pablo Mari is he injured? Is he still injured? Actually, he is still injured. He's going to be out.
Yeah.
Like Callum Chambers, is he still injured?
No, I think he's all okay. Yeah.
He's all good. You know, he's going to be defensive cover for them on the bench. They've got a lot of horses in reserve for the attacking positions, and Martinelli, Pepe. Willian, yes. Willian would probably be my irrational fear candidate for this game, because I know Chelsea fans thought that he was, what's the phrase I want to use? he was all huff and puff, and there was nothing no real end product. There's another phrase that I was going to use there, but I think I keep it a small bit PG for this one because people will be listening to it in the morning. William would probably be my irrational fear for tomorrow because he just keeps the ball moving. He's very metronomic. I know he's in his mid to late 30s at the moment. He's nearly the same age as myself, but he's somebody that I'll be watching coming off the bench to try and control the game if they get a leader, if they need to chase the game as well. And like Eddie Nketiah was starting at the start of the year for them. He doesn't seem to see much game time. They have a nice little squad. If they start to click, they're going to be a force. And Arteta has been threatening to click with them for a while, you know, even since the start, end of last year.
William has surprised me because I made a bold statement at the start of the season thinking that he could be one of the best signings of the season. Mm. But he started off well and never really pushed on. You know, he's hurt us in the past. He had no problem saying that he didn't really like us after he got sent off against us at Villa Park. I have to say, I admire him as a player. I think technically he's a very, very gifted player, and one we have to worry about, I suppose. And you know, he's the kind of player that could be thrown in from the start tomorrow.
Yep.
If he's shown those signs of wanting to get at us, that's the kind of man I think Arteta is. If somebody's really showing and training that, you know, or if you look at the past of how they've performed against teams, he would throw them in there as well. It'll be an interesting one. I don't expect wholesale changes. I think having to play Runnerson in goal is going to be a hindrance to them, and they will defend a whole lot deeper because of it. I don't think it's... Obviously, they haven't got their first-choice centre-halves as well, so who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, look, I would have no problem starting Traore and starting Ross Barkley and starting Jack and having a very much, if Runnerson is being started in goals, have a shoot on sight policy. Teams don't do it enough. Like, literally, a young goalkeeper in goals, like, his knees are going to be knocking for the first 4 or 5 minutes. Shoot on sight, have a crack, especially Traore. Like, he's got a howitzer of a left boot. Get shots in on top of him. Let him spill them. Let Ollie Watkins tap him in. You know, put balls into that corner. Let Ollie Watkins take him out of it in the air. Whatever needs to be done. But I think that sometimes teams in the Premier League show goalkeepers too much respect, especially young goalkeepers and goalkeepers, third string goalkeepers. And like we've seen it before, that like goalkeepers are confidence positions. If a goalkeeper initially starts to, doesn't have much to do from time to time, you know, over a couple of games, he starts to keep a couple of clean sheets, he'd be bigged up by his manager. Let's go in there and let's put this guy down if he needs to be, you know. Let's make sure that we're ruthless about this against Arsenal tomorrow. And, let's go for it. Have a shoot on sight policy. I'm all for it. Pepper him in the first 10 minutes if we get a chance to do it.
He's not a child either. He's 25 years of age. So.
I know, but he's a child in relative experience-wise, I suppose, really, you know. When you talk about playing at the top level, because, like, where did he come from?
Reykjavik, and he's been in Nordjylland and Gijón in Spain. So,
well, I'll tell you, if he was in Ireland or whatever, is Nordjylland, what you call him is going to know him pretty well. Johan Lang is going to have a pretty decent handle on him. So I'm all for it. Look, worry about him after the game, but definitely don't feel sorry for him during the game. If you have a chance to shoot from outside the box, have a crack as well, because like one thing that Rob Holding and this Gabriel will do is they're going to stand off people. That's why they need to have Partey and they need to have Xhaka in there. But bring the ball through the middle if you can. Try and create space through the middle. Just pepper shots, pop them off as best you can and see what happens for the first 10 minutes.
Make him nervous. Yeah, make him nervous. Put the fear in him. Like he's 7 Iceland caps as well. He's no slouch.
Yeah, no, he's not.
He will be nervous without a doubt. So, he's only played 6 games for the club in and out. So, we'll have a pop off him. I'm sure of that.
Yeah. Another thing as well, my reasoning for doing that is trying to get as much space and attack through the middle will be if we are to stop a team from overloading on the right hand side. Well, the best way to do it is just not down and not attack down the left hand side for the first 10 minutes and have them wondering, try and get them stretching across the field. And then once they get into that comfortability point, maybe even you start Jack in the center and maybe you play Ross Barkley a bit more withdrawn or something like that. But if a team thinks you're going to attack down the left, keep them thinking, come in the middle, attack down the right-hand side through Bertrand Traoré, get at Cedric, who's a good defender, really good defender. You're not going to get at him easy, that easy. Mm. But Aubameyang mightn't have the tracking back ability on that side that Saka has on the other side. We can have a go at this team. Absolutely have a go at Arsenal tomorrow. And as I say, I'm all for the shoot-hand side policy for the first 10 minutes and see what happens.
Absolutely. Put them under pressure.
Put him under pressure, as big Jack Charlton used to say. Exactly. All right, guys, that's going to do it for today. I said a 10-minute one, but we've been over 10 minutes. We've been nearly 20 minutes and more here. And
a quick shout out to our under-23s who are playing tonight. And for the first time, you can watch them live. So check out the official website. It's only $1.99, and the money goes to the Aston Villa Foundation. So it's well worth it. So.
Absolutely.
If you get a chance, we'll wish them well, and no doubt we'll have a look at them, Neil, and see how they're shaping up.
It's on in 28 minutes. When we're recording this, it's on in 28 minutes, Penny. So if anybody is listening, gets to this part of the podcast before the match, you're a super fan of the podcast. I'll tell you that much. All right, lads, we're going to leave it at that. Thanks, everybody. You can get Paddy on at Villa Paddy. You can get me on Love McGrath Pod. Keep an eye out. There's going to be a little surprise. There might be a little website coming soon if I can figure this whole thing out. But thanks, everybody, for all the interaction, all the chats, everything like that. And here's to a great result against Arsenal. And all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.